If you would, take your Bibles. Let's go back to the book of Esther, chapter number 4. Esther, chapter number 4. For those of you who were not here, let me just kind of bring you up to date on the message. This is a very long message. So what we have done is divided it into three different parts. We started it last night. We'll continue it tonight. And Lord willing, we'll finish it up tomorrow night. Last night, we talked about the challenge that Esther received from Mordecai. You'll remember the story. Haman has put a plan into place to destroy the Jews, to destroy God's people. And Mordecai goes to Esther and says, Esther, the time is now. You are the person. You are the place that God has for you to be in. And here is the challenge. You need to go before the king. And you need to plead for the life of your people. And Mordecai was doing, as we said last night, just as the theme says, saying to Esther, Esther, it's in your hands. You don't have to do this, Esther. If you don't, deliverance will come from somewhere else. But it's in your hands. And tonight we want to look at her response to that challenge. Now, let me remind you, God has also given us a challenge. This week is about a particular challenge, often referred to as faith promise given or grace giving. The challenge is, what would God have me to do, particularly in the area of missions in this upcoming year? It's in your hands. How will you respond to the challenge that's being given to you? Tonight, I want to look at Esther's response to that challenge. And point number two of this message is the courage and self-denial that she displayed. She responds to this challenge with courage and with self-denial. And I pray that each of us will respond to God's challenge in the same way. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you for this time. I pray now that as we have opened your word, as we read it, and as we bring the message tonight that you've laid on my heart, God, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. Lord, empower me. Empty me of myself. Lord, help us to focus now on your word, on the challenge that you've given to each one of us in particular. Lord God, please have your will and way, for I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night in Esther chapter 4, we ended with verse number 14. Let me back up and read verse 14 again, and then all the way down through verse number 3 of chapter 5. So Esther 4, beginning in verse number 14, Mordecai says, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now, Esther's response. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. The king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. Notice here Esther's response to Mordecai's challenge. Verse 16, Esther says to Mordecai, Mordecai, let's do this. But I want to make sure we bathe this in prayer first. She says in verse 16, go gather the Jews, all the Jews that you can find that are present here in Shushan. Make sure you gather them together. She says, fast for me, fast for me. And she said, make sure this is serious. We're not just joking around. She's saying this is a matter of life and death. She says, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. She says, night or day. She says, I want you to really give attention to prayer and to this situation. And notice in verse 16, she says, I'm not asking you to do anything that I am not willing to do myself. I also, my maids will fast likewise. We're going to be doing the same thing that you're going to be doing for the next 3 days. And she says, after we've bathed this in prayer, we've given this time to prayer, she says, then I will go into the king. And that's not according to the law. But she says, I'm willing to do it. And if I perish, I perish. And Mordecai, verse 17, does as Esther requests of him. Now, as we look at these verses of our text, and we'll get to chapter 5 here in just a moment, but there's three things that I want you to see from these verses. I want you to see here Esther's position. What is her position? Her position is queen. God has put her in this position, as we said last night, for such a time as this. It's not an accident that she is queen at this time. Number two, I want you to see prayer. Obviously here, a heavy emphasis on prayer and fasting as she enters into this challenge. And then also I want you to see Esther's purpose. And when I say Esther's purpose, I mean her determination or her resolve. She has purposed to move forward and accept the challenge that has been given to her. So first of all, her position. And as we look at the position that Esther has here, it is not an accident. God has moved providentially throughout this book of Esther. Take time to read it this week if it's been a while since you've read the book of Esther. It's amazing to see God working in the life of Esther and in the life of the Jewish people. And it's not an accident that she is here and now queen at this time. Can I remind each one of us tonight that God has put us in the position where we are, and it's not an accident that even right now, at this moment, you sit in that pew right here at Heritage Baptist Church. God has worked in your life, whether you realize He has been working in your life or not. God is always preparing us for the next step. I don't know if you've ever really listened to this part of the missionary's testimony or not, but as you listen to their testimonies, it's always interesting to hear how God had prepared them and they took this step. And then once God taught them the lessons they needed here, then God brought them to the next step. Once they learned what they needed to learn here, then God brought them to the next step. And you understand that's true not only for missionaries, but for all Christians who submit themselves to Him. He's always bringing us to that next step in our Christian life. And God has brought you to where you are. God has given you the job that He has given to you. He's given you the income that He has given to you. He's given you the family He has given to you. The neighbors, the co-workers that you have. It's no accident that you are in the position that you are in. How will you respond to that position that God has given to you? And as we apply this to missions, what position, what plan does God have for you in this upcoming missions year? What is it that God has been speaking to your heart about? As we talk obviously about faith, promise, giving, and making a commitment financially for missions. Oh, how important that is. This is something I've been involved in for over 20 years now, and God has blessed in our lives in an amazing way. And as you think this through and you pray this through, remember, God has put you where you are at this moment and this time, and He's putting before you a challenge. What is that challenge? Will you accept that challenge that He is putting before you? But also, I would take it even a step further. Maybe God is speaking to someone here last night or tonight, or will be speaking to you in this missions conference about going yourself. Are you willing to go to the mission field? Would you just tell God, God, yes, I'm willing. Now, God may say, no, I've got you right in the position, right in the place where I want you. And if that's what God says, you continue in doing exactly what He would have you to do right where you are. But there may be some that God's speaking to your heart about missions. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I could never go to Romania. Learning another language. Japan, we heard about last night. I could never go to Japan. And Canada, eh? How would I ever survive in a place like that? Listen, God is working in your life now. If that's what He has for you, He has already prepared you and will continue to do so until that time comes. Just be willing to do whatever it is He would have you to do. If God's calling you to missions, oh, would you please surrender to God. Do whatever it is He would have you to do. Number two, her position and now her prayer. This is a vital part of missions. This is something we cannot forget about. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Him. Listen, in everything, every little thing in life, we're to give prayer to it. When it comes to missions, that's not just a little thing. This is a major thing for us as Christians. It's a command that's been given to us to go into all the world, and we need to give prayer to missions. How so? Well, let me give you a few suggestions. Number one, pray for the missionaries you support. You know, missionaries write these things, and they're called prayer letters. At least they're supposed to write them. And as missionaries write prayer letters, one of the things that they're looking for is prayer. You know, I noticed this card being passed around as well. We're talking about a financial commitment to missions, but here is a challenge for a prayer commitment to missions as well. Now, we're talking about making a faith promise financial commitment to missions, but are you willing to make a faith promise prayer commitment to missions? Maybe there's a particular missionary or two or three. Maybe you would pick out the missionaries that are here for this conference that for the next year you will dedicate yourself to pray for these missionaries. Maybe there's some other missionaries that your church here supports. You could find a way to get a hold of their prayer letters on a regular basis and pray specifically for their needs. Oh, how important prayer is for the missionary on the field. I can tell you there's some situations we went through when we were in Alaska that I'm not so sure we would have stayed, except I knew there were people back here praying for us. And you know, there may be some people sitting right here that prayed for us while we were in Alaska as you supported us. Oh, thank God for prayer and how important prayer is. Pray for the missionaries that you support. And also, let's pray for more laborers. Pray for more laborers. Again, I appreciate the songs that were sung tonight and that prayer for more laborers. Luke 10:2, therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, I love prayer meetings. And most of the time when we have prayer meetings, we have the opportunity to give and take prayer requests. And if I were to ask for some prayer requests tonight, dare I say that we'd have several hands go up around the building and there'd be many requests that you could give, something that's heavy on your heart, something you would want us to pray about with you. I'd like to suggest tonight that if Jesus Christ were here with us tonight in bodily form, that He would raise His hand. And I believe the prayer request He would give is, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest field. You know, we have the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer request in black and white. He has given us His prayer request in His Word. We hear that verse all the time. We hear that challenge all the time. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, He'd send forth laborers. Let me ask you a very simple question and answer this question in your own heart. When is the last time you prayed for more laborers for the harvest field? We hear it. We know that's His prayer request. But when is the last time we earnestly prayed that God would send forth laborers? I believe it's something we need to pray about on a regular basis. It's something I pray about on a daily basis, that God would send forth more laborers. We need to pray. Here's something else we need to pray about. We need to pray for God's direction concerning our faith promise commitment. And then also pray for His provision as we make that commitment that He lays on our hearts, accepting that challenge financially to do what He's laying on our hearts to do. I know that as my wife and I near the time of our missions conference and we're challenged to give to Faith Promise Missions, we begin to pray together as a couple about what God would have us to give as a family to missions. And it's always interesting as we pray together and come towards the end of the conference. We know the cards are going to get passed out. And, you know, I go to Barb and I say, all right, Barb, what's the Lord laid on your heart? What amount has he given to you? And Barb says, oh, no, you tell me first. And I say, no, you tell me first. I said, I'm the head of the home. You tell me first. And so, of course, she says, well, since you're the head of the home, you say it first. And, of course, I submit. But it's always been interesting to me that as we have prayed about that together, God has laid a figure on our hearts that very often God brings us to the same figure. Now, I do have to tell you, there are some times where my wife's faith is stronger than mine. But God always brings us to where we need to be and what he wants us to give. Let's be praying right now, this week, as we look to Sunday when these cards will be passed out, that we pray and know the will of God for our lives. If you're a couple, pray together about that. You're a single person, pray, God, what would you have me to give? Teenagers, young people, I believe we all can and should be involved in faith promise giving. Let's pray about what God would have us to do. And then let me add this as well. When we talk about prayer, let us pray together that God would do great things. In Esther 4:16, Esther says, go gather all the Jews. I believe the principle here is where two or three are gathered together. Threefold cord is not easily broken. And I believe God will be honored if every single person in this room would go home and pray tonight. Oh, dear God, would you allow Heritage Baptist Church to do more for missions in this upcoming year than we've ever done before? To unite around a prayer like that is a prayer I believe God will be delighted to answer. Pray. Pray together that God would allow you to do great things for missions. Oh, prayer is so important. Let us pray. Esther said, I'm accepting the challenge, but we need to bathe it in prayer. Oh, I hope you're going to accept the challenge, but I trust you will bathe it in prayer as well. But we need to look at not only her position and her prayer, but number three, let's look at her purpose. And here I mean her determination or her resolve to do what she's been challenged to do. And in verse 16, she says there, if I perish, I perish. And you say, wait a minute, preacher. Are you saying that if I fill out a faith promise card, I can plan on dying? No. I'm not saying anything like that. But this is what I'm saying. As we fill out that faith promise card, or if we surrender to missions, if that's what God would have us to do, I believe our attitude should be the same as Esther's. That attitude that says, God, come what may, I will obey you. If I perish, I perish. Even if it does come to that, God, I am determined. I have purpose in my heart that I will obey you. And by the way, it does take us purposing in our heart to be faithful to this challenge. You know, this commitment that you make, I trust you understand, this is a commitment not just for 1 month or 2 months or 3 months. This is a commitment for a year. You say, what happens after a year? We're going to have another missions conference. Be challenged again. Praise the Lord. But this commitment that you make, dare I warn you, Satan will fight you on this commitment. Somewhere down the road, whether it be 2 months or 6 months down the road, Satan's going to come whisper in your ear, man, you were a little crazy to make a commitment like that. Or something's going to happen with your job, or something's going to happen with you financially, some unexpected bills, and you're going to be tested. Are you willing to purpose in your heart and have the attitude that Esther had that says, if I perish, I perish. God, I'm going to obey you, come what may. Oh, what an attitude that she had as she entered into this challenge. Are we willing to make whatever changes need to be made in our lives to keep the commitment that we make to him? You know, I'm afraid that in the United States of America, even among Christians, the American dream has become more important than denying self and following him. You know, we get so wrapped up in better houses, better cars, better clothes. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with houses and cars and clothes. But you know, when Jesus was here on earth and he preached, he said, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Jesus also said, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Wow. That sounds like almost the opposite of the American dream, if you will. Let's think it through. Let's have the same purpose in our hearts that Esther had. And I'm sure that many of you already thought about this as we're using that word purpose. As we think back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as he gives the challenge there to the church at Corinth, he says in verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Paul says to the church at Corinth, listen, you need a purpose in your hearts. That's that time of deciding. That's that time of praying. That's that time of discovering what God's will is for you personally. The challenge that he is laying upon your hearts. But it's not only purposing that part of it, but it's also purposing to follow through with what he's asked us to do. And let me add what Scripture adds. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. We learned last night, it's not a command. We don't have to do it. But what a privilege it is that God has given to us this challenge that we can obey him and be part of something as wonderful as worldwide evangelization. Esther's position, her prayer, her purpose. But let's look at something else concerning Esther that I love here. In chapter 5, those three verses that we read, they're interesting verses. There, in verse number 1, notice that she puts on her royal apparel. The Bible says that she stood in the inner court of the king's house, that this was over against the king's house. The king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, and this was over against the gate of the house. Then the Bible says in verse 2 that when the king saw Esther the queen, can you imagine that point in time when the king and Esther made eye contact? Esther has just spent 3 days fasting and praying about this. She knows the Jews have just been fasting and praying about it. She understands that as they make eye contact, if the king wants to, he snaps his fingers, he says the word, and her head rolls. Can you imagine being Esther at that moment in time? They make eye contact. When the king saw Esther the queen, what happened? She obtained favor in his sight. Whew! Glory! Amen. Can you imagine? The Bible says, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Can you imagine being Esther to walk up to the queen, the king, and to grab hold of that golden scepter? The relief that must have just flooded her soul at that moment. The thanksgiving that was within her for God answering this prayer. And the king answers, verse 3 is just an amazing thing, because when God answers, when God does something, he does it right, folks. Isn't it wonderful? "What wilt thou, Queen Esther? What is thy request?" Up to maybe 50 bucks, Esther. You can have whatever you want. No, he says, "Esther, whatever you want, it is yours, even up to half the kingdom. Esther, you name it, it's yours." Now, as I look at these three verses, there's several things I want to point out here. First of all, number one, I see here a direct answer to prayer. Amen. Folks, we serve a God who hears and answers our prayer. We're emphasizing prayer tonight, but we'll emphasize it again tomorrow night. How important it is that we pray. And these things that we've already mentioned tonight that we need to be praying about, why do we do it? Is it just some exercise that we go through for fun? No, we do it because God hears our prayers and he answers prayer. And here is a proof text for God answering prayer. And by the way, I just love the liberals are amazing. They really are. You know, the liberals say, well, you know, the book of Esther really doesn't belong in the canon of Scripture. And they give two reasons for that. They say, number one, the word God is not mentioned in the book at all. So God's not in the book. And then number two, they say, prayer is not in the book either. Now, folks, I got to tell you, they weren't fasting just for their health. They were praying. And by the way, if you don't see God in the book of Esther, you're reading it with your eyes closed. God's throughout the book. Prayer. They prayed and God answered their prayer. And then I need to point this out. God answered their prayer as a result of Esther putting feet to her prayers. Esther put her faith into action. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, think about this with me, and if you will, use your sanctified imagination. When you think about Esther as she approached the king, verse 1 gives us a lot of details about how she met up with the king. I find that interesting. Wonder why God gave us those details. It says there she stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. The king sat on the royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. Now, what does that mean? Let me give you my, loose Snyder translation of all of this. What I think this means is Esther thought this through as she prayed. She said, God, I believe you're going to answer this prayer. And I'm going to put some feet to my prayers. And I believe Esther went to her closet. And as she went to her closet after that 3 days of praying and fasting, she found the dress that she knew the king just loved. Last time she wore it, it knocked his socks off. And then, of course, she had to make sure she got the right earrings, the ones that match with that dress. And ladies, you know all about this stuff. And the hair, she had to do the hair that last time she was with the king, which, remember, was more than 30 days ago. But when she was with him, he said to her, I really like your hair that way. And then, of course, Esther had to go to the closet because shoes. Now, ladies, you know about that. That makes the outfit. I think I've heard somebody say that before somewhere. And she probably had a closet full of shoes. But she picked out just the right shoes. She put on a necklace. She put on a little perfume. And you know, I believe Esther knew the habits of the king. She knew where he would be sitting and when he would be sitting there. I believe she probably even knew the time of day when he was in a little bit better mood than the others. I don't know all of these details and if they're exactly true or not, but in my sanctified imagination, I see Esther putting some feet to her prayers. And the Bible says that she stood in just the right spot. I believe she thought it through and knew that's where she could make eye contact with the king. And as she went to that spot, having prepared herself for God to answer that prayer, she put her faith into action. She stood where she needed to stand, and God brought it to be that as they made eye contact, she then obtained favor in the sight of the king. Can I remind us tonight of the need of putting feet to our prayers? How sad it is that we kind of sit back and pray, say, okay, God, answer my prayer, and I'll wait here until you do. You know, somebody that says, hey, listen, I want to really learn to play the game of basketball, and I want to get good at basketball, so I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch basketball games for the rest of my life. You know, it's not going to happen. You got to get out there on the court. You got to pick up a ball. You got to shoot. How sad it is that somebody says, well, I really need a job. Things are really rough, and I got to have a job. And you know what? I'm going to sit here in my recliner, and I'm just going to wait for the phone to ring. God's going to give me a job out of the blue. I believe God wants us to put some feet to our prayers, go out and put a few applications in, make some calls, you know? Hey, listen, when it comes to faith promise giving, I believe God expects us to act by faith, to accept the challenge, but then I believe He expects us to put some feet to our prayers as well. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, let me give you a few examples. Number one, we have to live disciplined lives financially. We can't just go out and buy the newest, best toy on the market. By the way, if you listen to the advertisements, they'll tell you, you just cannot live without it. You got to have it. If you're going to really be the person that you need to be, you've got to have our product. Hey, folks, that's advertisement, okay? Amen. We need to remember, hey, we've made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to put some feet to our prayers. Let me mention this, and this is really important and a real problem in our day and time. I believe we need to do everything we can to stay out of debt. You see, there are a lot of Christians who are so deep in debt that when it comes to a Faith Promise Missions conference, they're not able to do what God would want them to do for missions because they have already got themselves so deep in debt. We need to put feet to our prayers and say, God, I'm going to live a conservative financial life, staying out of debt, making sure I set a budget and live by it. But let me name one other area one of the way that we can put feet to our prayers when it comes to faith promise giving. And this is a very practical thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul said to the Corinthians in verse number 11, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." What's Paul saying there? He's saying, this commitment that you're going to make, church at Corinth, you give that commitment out of that which you have. You have to understand that there are some who teach and preach faith promise this way. They say, well, listen, faith promise is about just writing a number down on that card. And then you go home and you just kind of wait for God to give it to you. And if God gives it to you in a special way, in a miraculous way, then you're obligated to give it. Then you give it to missions. But you see, if God doesn't give it to you, you're off the hook. You don't have to give it. And I remember I preached a conference in West Virginia. And when that conference was over, I had gone all through 2 Corinthians 8 during that conference, just presenting faith promise. I got to the end of the conference. The preacher came to me after the meeting. And he said, you know, I never understood. We've been preaching and trying to follow faith promise for the last 14 years in our church. But it has never worked. And he said, I just discovered in this conference why. He says, because all of the speakers that we have had come in have always taught that if God gives it to you, then you give it to God. But if God doesn't give it to you, you're not obligated to give it. He said, now I understand that you give it out of that which you have. You see, the principle of this is found in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. God expects us to put feet to our prayers, to put our faith into action. Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. That's God's order. God said, you give it, and then when you give it, then it shall be given unto you. How's it going to be given unto us? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Now, you know what that means in the Greek, don't you? It means you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give out of that which you have. Let me just get real practical here, just for a few minutes. What does that really mean? Let me just give you the example for our lives and our finances and how we do this. What this means is we get a statement once a month. We're supported as missionaries, as these missionaries are as well, by local churches, just like this one. And at the end of the month, we get a statement of all that income that has come into us, and we're thankful for all of those faithful supporters. Now it's time to give. The first thing that we do with that check, the thing that comes off the very top, is God's tithe. 10%. It belongs to Him. Just do the math. 10%. And by the way, it's okay to round it up. God doesn't mind at all, okay? But let me, while I'm here, remind you that when we talk about the faith promise commitment card and we talk about putting a number down here, this is not your tithe. You don't write down your tithe on here and say, well, I'm just going to give my tithe to missions. Your tithe is not yours. The Bible says it is the Lord's. It belongs to Him. So very simply, you just give that to His body. You give it to your local church. God uses it from there. You see, if you want to give a faith promise offering, you must first tithe. The faith promise offering is over and above the tithe. So when our statement comes in, the first thing, 10% off the top, it's God's tithe. It belongs to Him. We give it. The second thing that comes out of that paycheck is the faith promise offering that we have committed to give to missions. You say, what do you do after that, preacher? Well, I look at the bills that I know are coming, and I look at the amount that's left, and then I really start to pray. But I can tell you this, having practiced faith promise for over 20 years, God has been more than faithful. God has met every one of our needs. And by the way, He's met many of our wants as well. God is a good God. You cannot outgive God no matter how hard you try. Give out of that which you have. Put feet to your prayers. Put your faith into action. In closing tonight, I'd ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And again, this is the context of faith promise giving. The majority of it found in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, and then it spills over into chapter number 9, and even a little bit into chapter number 10. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, let me begin in verse 7. We've quoted this verse already tonight. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now notice verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, remember, the grace of giving. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You, church at Corinth, just like he did for the churches at Macedonia. God is able to make that same grace abound toward you, church at Macedonia, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, that is, all things pertaining to this offering, doing that which God has challenged you to do, to respond to this offering. God is able to make that grace abound towards you, giving sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That is the good work of this offering that they are taking. Let me bring it into 2011. God is able to make all grace abound to Heritage Baptist Church, to each one of us who are willing to accept the challenge. To do so with courage, not knowing exactly what may happen in the next year financially. To do so with self-denial, saying, if I've got to set the American dream on the shelf for a little while, so be it. But to, with self-denial, say to God, God, I'm willing to accept the challenge that you're putting before me. To obey you, trusting you, that you can make all grace abound toward me. You know, the Bible says in Esther 5:2, when the king saw Esther, that's when she obtained favor in his sight. I believe it's when we step out by faith, when we obey, when we give, that is when God makes all grace abound toward us. It's in your hands. How will you respond to the challenge? Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'd ask you at this moment in time to think through these very simple truths from the book of Esther. What has God spoken to you about? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Instrumentalists are coming. As God, I trust, has spoken to your heart tonight about the challenge. First of all, the financial challenge of giving to missions. Are you willing to accept that challenge? Maybe God's laying a figure on your heart that just doesn't make sense when you look at your budget. Are you willing to just say simply, God, whatever it is you want, I'm willing to do. And to continue to pray about whatever it is God's laying on your heart. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about missions, surrendering to be a missionary, to be a church planter. Maybe you don't understand how God can meet that need and allow you to do something like that. But again, tonight, you've been reminded that as you step out by faith, then God will make that grace abound towards you and give you what you need. As the instrumentalist begins to play, if God has laid something on your heart tonight in particular, we invite you to come. This is a time of invitation. We are inviting you to come, to step out for the Lord. Is there something particular that He's talked with you about? You just want to come and talk with Him here at the front. We invite you to do that. If there's nothing else that you pray about at this moment, would you take time and pray about what God would have you to give? We emphasize tonight the importance of prayer. And maybe even this is something that's been so heavy on your heart, I might even suggest that you spend the next day or two fasting even to know God's will. Bathe this thing in prayer because this is a serious thing. When we talk about missions, we're talking about the eternal souls of men all around the world. Oh, would you take this time to pray as Pastor comes? Dear Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, each one now to do your will, to accept the challenge that you've laid on our hearts. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Others are coming. Would you come? God is able. Are you willing? That really is the issue, isn't it? There's no doubt that God is able to do and use you in what He's called you to do, what He's telling you to do. The question, the issue, really always comes down to, are we willing? when Esther was willing to place herself in the place of faith, God favored her. God bless. Are we willing?